touched my heart. Of course, it's been pretty easy to touch since I've been up here. I've missed everyone, so. So before I start today, I'd like to take a moment of silence for all those who lost their lives in Las Vegas. And I'd also like to surround their loved ones, their friends, as they struggle to understand the why of it. So if you please join me. Let's just continue to hold them in love as they continue on their journey to their greater yet to be. Thank you. So there's a book, and the name of it is Undefended Love. And in it, it says that intimacy is a direct, unmediated, heart-to-heart connection with ourselves and others, and states it can only occur when the heart is undefended. So that we can learn how to love without obstructions, so that we can learn how to be emotionally present even when we feel vulnerable and exposed. It is about releasing the strategies we have used to stay in control so that we feel safe, and it is about finding the courage to love without requirements or guarantees. So what I'm talking about today is to seeing beyond the love that we normally experience or think we experience past ourselves to that essential God self that lives within us, that lives within my partner, that lives within my friend, that lives within my family member, and which lives within that complete stranger that I passed on the street yesterday. As we do that, we can create a community-wide climate conducive to being love, to deep and honest reflection, to deep and honest communication. The perfect love of the one, the only one, the beloved one, is the very fiber of who each one of us is. It requires no defending. It is irrefutable. It is ever available. And it wants us to know it and to experience it. It is our essence. And our essence, as defined by the American Heritage Dictionary, is the intrinsic or indispensable properties that serve to characterize or identify something, the inherent, unchanging nature of a thing. So that being said, our essence then is that substance from which we are all formed, that unchanging, unmoving, always reliable, always there substance from which we are created. It's not what we've learned. It's not what we believe necessarily. It is the truth of who we are. It is the truth of us. And you can often see this very essence of love at a very pristine level in a newborn baby or an ascended master. Have you ever noticed a newborn baby? They just bubble over. They exude joy, and if they have pain, they react immediately. They don't try to cover it up and pretend it didn't happen. They are honest with their feelings. It just comes right out. I think that's what Jesus meant when he said, "You are the light of the world." There was such a different way of expressing in babies than what we have, because we feel like we need to be in control of the situation. They have a purity of expression that we just don't seem to grasp anymore because we're so busy dealing. We're dealing with those emotions. We don't want them to know how angry or how hurt we are because that might make us vulnerable. If I let you know what it is that I choose to become angry, and remember, that's a choice for me. If I choose to become angry, then I have made myself vulnerable to you, haven't I? So what exactly is our essence? What is it? Well, you know, we talked in the songs and we talk in our classes about all of the qualities of God. And truly, isn't that what our essence is? We are light, we are love, we are hope, we are peace, we are joy, we are courage, we are strength, we are one. We are open, we are grateful. All of these things we call our God qualities. And all of us are capable of expressing them if that's our choice. We don't always choose to do that. Many of us have come to believe that we experience love if I love you and you love me in return. That's how we experience love. We think we have to have a vehicle outside of ourselves to participate in that action in order to have love. What we don't understand is it doesn't have to be outside of ourselves because we are love. Each and every one of us, we are love. We don't need to look outside of ourselves. Ernest Holmes says that what we are looking for, we are looking with. So we need to stop trying to conquer love. We have to be willing to look beyond our personalities to the essential self and to recognize that God in us and in our partner and is in our family and is in that stranger, God is everywhere present if and when we choose to see and to acknowledge it. It's always there. It's up to us. It's up to us. Last week I talked about oneness, and that's truly what we're looking for, isn't it? We want to be one. No sense of us, no sense of otherness, one with the divine. We are looking for bliss. We are looking to find undefended love that leads to those perfected relationships. And when I talk about undefended love, don't misunderstand. I clearly am in no way saying that someone should stay in an abusive relationship. That's not what I mean when I say not to have love, not to have any defenses with your love. Gay Hendricks, the psychologist who wrote The Big Leap, says, love's true purpose is to free the essential self. When we love, God loves through us. It loves as us. It loves by us. And undefended love means accepting that love unencumbered by our issues. Unencumbered by our emotional baggage, unencumbered by all of those accumulated past experiences. True love, true intimacy doesn't come from another being. It truly comes from the one being, the one. When we come to understand this, we can get our personalities out of the way, can't we? And we can simply allow God to flow through us. That creative presence can flow through us, and we can learn that it's okay to be vulnerable, that the essential self doesn't need any defending because the essential self is the God within us, and it's the safest place to be. Practicing love means practicing patience, practicing kindness, practicing compassion, practicing forgiveness, practicing courtesy, practicing humility, to develop these traits within ourselves. And when we do that, when we transform ourselves, guess what? We transform the world. And if I look out, I could say the world could use a little transforming. So I have a question for you I want you to think about. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? How would you describe yourself? How would you describe yourself? What came to mind? Often, how we describe ourselves has to do with our personalities and not our essence. I have a good sense of humor. I'm easy to get along with. I'm independent. I'm intelligent. Pick one. How would you describe yourself? I'm honest. And truly, those are qualities that you have, that you may have, but, and, often, those are what we call our personality. Those are our personality. It's the mask. That's a persona, the mask. It's the mask behind which we hide so that you cannot see who I truly am. Who I truly am. Sogyal Rinpoche, a Tibetan spiritual master, says, "We find that this identity depends upon an endless collection of things to prop it up." An endless collection. He says that in order to be our true self, we don't have to give up our personality entirely. You know, that's truly part of who we are. But we need to wear it just a little more lightly, he says. It's not that there's anything wrong with us. What's wrong with us is that we think we need other people to see us that way. It's the need to have others see us by the qualities we think we should be. And sometimes that gets in our way of being who we really are, being our authentic selves. So how many of us have believed that Prince Charming or Aphrodite or someone will come and sweep us off our feet, take us off into the sunset, and we'll live happily ever after? It's a great thought, isn't it? It didn't work for me. I don't know. It might have worked for some of you, but mine hasn't shown up yet. I've had to learn to be love and to be loved just exactly where and as I am. Without defenses, without obstructions. Maybe part of that comes with getting older. You can quit being the chameleon and where you try to be what you think someone else wants you to be, and you can be much more authentic. Much more authentic. We can learn to relinquish that control. We can learn to be vulnerable. We can learn to be present. And we can learn that it takes courage. It takes a lot of courage. Consider yourself courageous. It takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable, to let someone know the truth of who you really are. It takes a lot of courage to have a love that has no conditions and no requirements. You remember growing up, some of us might have grown up, and it was like, I'll love you if you clean your room. I'll love you if you finish your homework. I'll love you. I mean, there were these conditions. We need to learn to relinquish the control and just love. Just love. Some of us are waiting for that right moment. We're waiting for that right person for that right moment. And we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, aren't we? Well, anyway, that's how it was for me. We are conditioned to look outside ourselves for love, aren't we? TV ads, you got to wear the right perfume, you got to use the right kind of soap, you got to use the right kind of hairspray, the mascara, whatever it is. We're conditioned to look outside of ourselves for what makes us lovable. What we forget is the love comes from in here. The love comes from that God within each and every one of us. It's not out there. I got to tell you, my dog loves me unconditionally, and she doesn't care if I've combed my hair or had a bath or anything. You know? There's something to be learned from animals. They're a little more authentic than we are. You know, they don't feel like they have to put on a special front in order for us to like them. And when we no longer feel it's necessary to do that either, to defend our position or to play that blame game that it's his fault or it's her fault or I didn't do it. When we get to the point where we can let go of that, we become more available. When we lean in, into our hearts, into our God self, when we lean in and trust that, it delivers us to love. We become the love that inherently we already are. We just remove the roadblocks. When we see through the eyes of spirit, we see truly, and we align ourselves with that light and that love that God is, that we are, and we can experience more and more of it in our relationships. We can experience light. We can experience love. I would venture to guess that I'm not the only one here that's ever had a difficult relationship, or at least had a relationship that could be difficult part of the time. So I want to share a story with you. It's about a monk. Now, there was a monk, and he went to visit this renowned, enlightened master. And when he arrived at the master's house, the master wasn't home, and the wife answered the door. And the wife was rude, and she was verbally abusive, and she was inhospitable. And he was quite amazed at that, because here's this enlightened monk, you know. And so later, when he found the monk, he told the monk about your wife, how your wife treated me. And the monk said, yeah, that's how she treats me too. And the monk was astounded. Well, then how is it that you find peace, that you become centered, and you realize your oneness with the universe when you have a partner like that in your home? Isn't she a terrible hindrance to your spiritual practice? And the enlightened master replied, she is my spiritual practice. a large part of our component of love as a spiritual practice is just that little shift in attitude. That little shift, remembering, no matter how difficult that person is, no matter how nasty they may seem to us, all people are worthy, inherently worthy, and all people deserve love. Remembering that there's potential beyond what it is that you're seeing, that behind that protection that she has is a very vulnerable, insecure, loving person. To move beyond the appearance, she is potential, right? She is potential to be positive. And we all have the potential to have positive relationships. Sometimes it takes a little while to come into that place where you can acknowledge and accept the fact that everybody isn't going to throw themselves on you and tell you how wonderful you are. That's not what we're about. Isn't it interesting when you realize that every person that you meet is just like you? They all have insecurities. They all have relationships that don't work quite as well as they want them to. And they all want to feel good. They all want to feel good. They all need love. They all want to have someone love them. And they all experience suffering and insecurity and feeling like they're not enough. I don't know about you, but there have been days when I certainly have felt that I was not powerful enough, I was not smart enough, I was not good enough. And yet the truth is, we all are, inherently. So I have a story from Essential Sufism, and it's an analogy about self-transformation. Fariduddin Attar says that one night the mosques all gathered together, tormented by their desire to unite themselves with the candle. And they all said, we must find someone to give us the news of that which we long so earnestly. So one of the mosques went up to the castle, and he saw the light, he saw the candle, and he came back and he told them what he saw. But the wise old moth said, he really has no information about the candle. So the other moth went up and he visited the candle and he got a little close to it and kind of touched the flame with his wings, and he came back and he explained something of what the union with the candle meant. But the wise moth said to him, your explanation is really worth no more than that last fellow's, because you didn't experience the candle. So the third moth rose up, flew, and threw himself into the candle flames. And as he entered completely in its embrace, his members glowing red like the flame itself, the wise moth saw from afar that the candle had identified the moth with itself and had given the moth its light. And he said, this moth alone understands what it is that he has attained. No other knows, and that is all. That until we are ready to identify ourselves with the God within, we can touch at it and we withdraw. So how do we perceive our essence? How do we perceive our essence? Well, we get to quiet our minds, we get to open our hearts, and we get to relax our bodies. And then we get to tune into that inner voice within us, our orchestrator as it is, that still small voice within. So I want to ask you to do me a favor, to close your eyes, relax your body, take a deep breath and exhale. Okay, take another deep breath. And as you do that, just feel the tension leaving your body. And now I want you to listen. Listen as if you're trying to hear that still small voice within. Listen. Continue that deep breathing and listen. Thank you. And as you were listening, did you find that your feelings and your thoughts kind of went into the background because you were so intent on listening? When we learn to come to that place and we can stay there and we can listen to that voice within, then we will know our true essence. Then we will know. In the spiritual universe, a new Ernest Holmes says, the wonderful person you are looking for really is the divinity that is hidden within you, God as you. What you are looking for, you are looking with. We don't need to conquer love. We don't need to acquire love. We are love. We simply need to be open. We need to see past our personality, past the need to be in control, past the need to protect ourselves from being vulnerable. See past all of that to our essential self, and then recognize that God is within us, and God is within each and every one of you, and God is within your family, and God is within that person that you really have a difficult time with. You just need to look beyond there. You know, they're protecting themselves. You need to look beyond their protection to that vulnerable person that's in there, that's hiding in there. And that kind of recognition can produce a love so potent, so safe, it doesn't need to be defended. That's why they call it undefended love. Learning to love and to be loved without defenses. Rabbi Nachman in The Gentle Weapon says, let the good in me connect with the good in others until all the world is transformed through the compelling power of love. We need to cultivate the ability to be vulnerable. We need to cultivate the ability to look beyond that wall that people have set up to protect themselves from being vulnerable, to look at the essence of the person that we're dealing with, to learn to relinquish control and allow God to take care of us, to find the courage to love with no guarantees and no conditions. And most of us, we really want a guarantee, don't we? I'm going to love you, but here's what I require. And so to learn to love with no guarantees and no conditions. I will love you if you're a good boy. I will love you if you are a good girl. I will love you if you do as you're told. We have defended and protected ourselves for so many years that we have forgotten, how to be loved. We are waiting for that moment for love to happen. We are waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. And all we need to do is to breathe into the essence of who we are and allow ourselves to be that love that we think we're waiting for. We have a choice. We are always a choice. We can accept our vulnerability, and we can let it be a guidance for us, or we can defend against it and reject those experiences. Cultivating an intimate life, an undefended love, is a task that each one of us is capable of attaining. Each one of us can have that maturity necessary to live an intimate life. Each one of us. It's not easy necessarily in terms of relationships. I have a couple I'm still working on. But it creates a feeling of belonging, doesn't it? The emotional maturity raises us to a level where we can live truly in intimate relationships and be our essence. Cultivate the truth of who we are. What is your deepest nature? Every experience we have, okay, I don't necessarily like this, but it is true. Every experience we have is a reflection of our internal state of being. Every thought, every feeling, every behavior, we have emotional reactions that tell us exactly, where we are. Sometimes that's kind of hard to face, you know, for me. So in the old Science of Mind text that was written in 1926, there is a lesson 5, and it's called Realization. And Ernest Holmes says, "We do not dare to throw ourselves with abandonment into a seeming void. But if we did, we would find our feet planted firmly on a rock. For there is a place in the mentality, in the heights of its greatest realization, where it throws itself with complete abandonment into the very center of the universe. There is a point in that supreme moment of realization where the individual merges with the universe, but not to the loss of his individuality, where a sense of oneness of all life so enters his being that there is no sense of otherness. It is here that the mentality performs seeming miracles, because there is nothing to hinder the whole from coming through. The supreme principle in developing the capacity to live in love with an undefended heart is to challenge and liberate yourself from your own defensiveness before you try to critique and evaluate the behavior of someone else." So your homework for this week is to take a few minutes to do that little exercise, to sit down in the chair, to close your eyes, to take a deep breath and relax, and to listen. Listen to that still, small voice within. And do it every day. So let us pray. God of our hearts, God of our realization, God the good, omnipotent, God who is health and wholeness and abundance, God who is love and compassion and strength, I am one with that divine presence. The truth, the undefended truth of me is undefended love, unconditional love. The truth of me and each and every person here is love and peace and joy and strength and courage. Courage to become. Courage to be. You already are. The courage to allow yourself to be that center of the divine, to allow it to shine in through and as you. And so as I speak my word this day, I speak it knowing the truth of each and every person here, one with God, one with the divine, healed, whole, healthy, abundant. I know that as we move through the ensuing week, we move through it with ease and grace, with love and laughter. We move through it knowing that God is our strength, that we are one with that powerful presence of spirit, and we don't have to defend ourselves. We can truly be the essence of what we are. So I give thanks. I give thanks for the life of the divine as it flows through each and every person here. I give thanks for the love of the divine as it flows through and unfolds us all. I give thanks for the peace of the divine, our peace. I simply say thank you, God, as I release this word to the perfect working of the perfect law that always, always and only says yes. Please join me in affirming, and so it is.